How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Later on in the program, we'll be taking your phone calls and emails, 855-478-4478. Open lines, any topics, pro wrestling, mixed martial arts. Obviously, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. It is not a pay-per-view Sunday. We have no pay-per-views coming up after the show goes off the air. Also, we really had no pay-per-views this weekend, unless you count the New Japan iPay-per-view, which was available online, as well as the UFC show in Singapore, which was also available online. Neither of these available on television or through traditional pay-per-view, but the world is changing. And not only was there a New Japan and UFC show available only for people on the internet, but it is expected that this coming Wednesday at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, 6 o'clock p.m., WWE will be announcing the imminent debut of the WWE Network. Dave Meltzer and I are going to be there for the announcement. And granted, WWE has not officially stated that that's what this big announcement is all about. For all I know, I may show up and they've got a new video game. But the feeling from talking to people within WWE, who do not know, mind you, but the feeling from talking to people is that, yes, the WWE Network announcement is coming up this Wednesday. That means we will have details. What is going to be on the network? How much is the network going to cost? We've been talking about all of this for the past couple of weeks, and the question remains to you, will you be buying the WWE Network? Have you purchased the UFC Network? Did you enjoy UFC in Singapore if you watched online? We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We'll be back in just a moment with Mike Sempervivi to jump into it. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into here today. Here for 2 hours, and pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, open lines will be starting in the next segment. So if you're listening live, please do not call now. Next segment, we'll open up those phone lines. We got to get into the news first. Mike Sempervivi, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Trying to get my voice back after doing 4 hours of show with Dave Meltzer last night post UFC in New Japan. So just trying to shake off those cobwebs and getting ready for this.
4 hours.
4 hours. We're trying to give the people what they need.
Well, let's jump right into the Tokyo Dome here very quickly since maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the numbers. But I think in terms of our audience, the Tokyo Dome show was probably a bigger deal than UFC in Singapore. It was the biggest show of the year for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And there may be people out there that have purchased the show and have not watched it yet. And you may or may not be talking to one of them. So, Mike, let's get a quick look at what matches should someone be sure to see. And don't mention the Gracie match, because I've heard.
Yeah, you know, this was a show that coming into it, unlike last year, where there seemed to be a lot of balance up and down the card, and there was a lot of interesting scenarios up and down the card. It was a top-loaded show. It was really the big four matches on this show, which were Hirooki Goto and Katsuyori Shibata, which was one of the feuds of the year last year in all of wrestling. They kind of had their final encounter. A junior heavyweight title match between Kota Ibushi and Ireland's Prince Devitt, who's been the longest reigning champion there, seemingly. I guess it hasn't been all that long, but it seems like he's held the title forever because he's had such a dominant reign. And then the official semi-main event, which was the IWGP heavyweight title match between Kazuchika Okada and Tetsuya Naito, as well as the IWGP Intercontinental title match, which main evented the show and actually features the two biggest stars of New Japan, Shinsuke Nakamura and Hiroshi Tanahashi. There was some decent stuff on the card, but really the whole thing led up to those four. And at the end of the day, they didn't disappoint. People who have seen these guys face off against each other before, they've probably had better matches. With that said, these are all still matches that you should probably go out of your way to see because they were incredibly well done.
I hear the Gracies were really bad.
It was really, really bad. Now, it would have been somewhat passable if you had a Henzo or a Hoist or a Half or a Hixon. That would have been one thing, but you had Daniel Gracie and Hollis Gracie, who are not exactly, I mean, Daniel, I don't believe, is even a true Gracie. He's a cousin. He's related, and he took the name for marketing reasons during his fight career. But unfortunately, they don't know anything about pro wrestling. It was not a very good match, really, at all, with the limited training that they had. And they just don't have the charisma, the quote-unquote pro wrestling style of charisma that would have really carried the match and made it something more than what it is. And I think probably the worst thing is, even though the match ended with a real thud and the crowd just was not buying into it whatsoever, afterwards they did announce that they're going to continue on with this Sakuraba and Nagata feud against the Gracie family. And,
oh, great.
And hopefully because of the reaction of things, that if they're going to do something like this, that you make the phone call to at least Henzo, because he's a walking ball of charisma. I don't know if anybody's ever met or had anything to do with Henzo Gracie before, but he is like a walking can of Red Bull. He's just so excited and energetic and so charismatic that they may want to go and pull that if they're going to do something with the Gracie family in pro wrestling in 2013 or 14 now.
So the next big move, I mean, looking down towards the summer, is they're going to a dome for the G1. And the G1 show quality wise this year was outstanding. And I mean, I like the idea, I guess, but are they really going to sell out a dome for the G1 finals?
I don't know. And especially that dome, it's not like they even went to the Saitama Super Arena, which the Pride Fighting Championships used for years and years and years. I mean, they're going right into, I think that's about 20,000-25,000. They're going into a 35,000 seat building. And it's, again, it's a ballsy move. And that's the only thing you can say. And I don't know what their plan is going to be. They have one match that has been untouched pretty much thus far, which is Shinsuke Nakamura against their champion, Kazuchika Okada. That's the one match they haven't had. And that's the one match I think that will really drag people into a building and be a big deal. So if they can
structure... That's a match they've never done?
They've done it before, but it hasn't been since Okada has become a quote-unquote superstar for New Japan. They really have not crossed paths much. They haven't tag matches and things like that. But it's been the one singles match that would be something special to really have out there. They've announced Okada and Goto coming up for the spring, so that's going to happen. That's a match that they really haven't had either. But I think if you're going to do something like that, you're going to have to load up the G1 with a lot of guys who have got a lot of name value, you know, outside of your promotion and across the country. And I'm not sure, you know, how many guys they can really get to join in that'll make that big of an impact. And then to have that big match probably set up for the first time at some point during the tournament, which in this case, it would be the finals. I would assume that's the direction they're going to go, because they're doing a lot of this with buildings this year. They're really trying to take a step up and really trying to hold on to the role that they've been on. But it's again, you're spending a lot of rent on a building like that. It's a little bit out of the way from, you know, some of the other buildings that they've had to deal with. So you got to give them this. They're truly going all out. Whether they're going to be able to fill the thing or not, I guess we'll see. Because now that you've announced it 8 months ahead of time, you know, you got a lot of time to build toward, but you also have a lot of time to look if things aren't going that well to try to get out of it.
So the title direction, according to Dave here, is Okada and Goto for the IWGP title next. Tanahashi versus Nakamura in a rematch for the Intercontinental title, which Tanahashi won at the show. Kota Ibushi against El Desperado, who is not Terry Funk, which is too bad for the junior title. And Tomohiro Ishii looks to be facing Tetsuya Naito for the NEVER title. What about this lineup?
It's a good lineup. You know, there needs to be a couple more guys in the junior heavyweight mix, and they've got Kyosuke Mizukami, I guess, is going to be the guy that is in that role as El Desperado. So, you know, another body in that mix doesn't hurt that at all. And again, Goto and Okada is a match that, again, has not been really, you know, pushed as being, you know, a big deal or anything like that. Goto's been so tied up with Katsuyori Shibata for all of last year. So it is a fresh match. It's a good match. You know, you're always going to get your money's worth out of Tanahashi and Nakamura as well. So as far as matches on paper, I don't think anybody can really complain about any of them.
Now, the stream, I heard, in the first few matches had some problems, and I guess it was remedied. Was it after match three?
That's about when I stopped having problems. I had a little bit of problems during the pre-show with buffering and things like that. I didn't have anywhere near the problems it sounded like some people had had with it. I know Dave had an issue with his where he actually had to order the show twice.
What?
Which was a problem because Ustream, apparently they're, you know, trying to get anybody for technical support. It's just about impossible. So it forced him to order the show for the second time. But I had little bumps and clicks and buffering issues. But really, after the second or third match for me, it was really, you know, clean skating after that. Not as good, anywhere near as good as the UFC Fight Pass setup is. But then again, the people who are doing Fight Pass are professionals that actually do it for sports organizations, not only the UFC, but the NHL, Major League Baseball. And I believe they have some input into the NFL as well, too. So they're incredibly, incredibly good at what they do.
So the Fight Pass show, which aired, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning or 6 a.m. or something like that here on the West Coast. So did you watch it live or did you watch it after it was over?
No, unfortunately, I tried to be a trooper and stay awake for the New Japan show. I did fall asleep during that. So when I got back up in the morning, I did start watching the rest of the New Japan show. And then later on, I caught the UFC show. It was probably about noon or so. I guess it had just technically ended the live stream of it. But it was great. I mean, as far as the clarity of it, I only had a chance to see three matches off the show. But from what I saw, I had no issues with it whatsoever. I was able to sometimes when you're watching on demand, if you're trying to go to a certain point in the show, there'll be a lot of buffering and issues like that. I didn't have an issue at all with any of it. I was able to fast forward and rewind without an issue and not have it freeze up or skip or buffer or anything like that. So,
all right, well, I'm gonna buffer you. So hold on, Semp. We got to run to a commercial. Back in just a moment, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we've got a lot of news to get into here today. Going to be taking your phone calls here in a bit, as well as those of you on Skype will be able to contact us here as well. As noted, every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network. Now, Mike Sempervivi, we were talking actually about the UFC Fight Pass, and apparently for you, went off without a hitch. Is that correct?
That's true. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it whatsoever. I haven't really looked around and talked to a whole lot of people that you know, whether they had an issue or not. But doesn't seem to be anything glowing that people didn't like the feed of it. I see some people that are not happy, you know, with the amount of content that they're able to get so far. I haven't dug through the crevices of what they posted up there. I know they are really touting, you know, the fact that you're going to be able to get everybody, you know, every promotion that they've ever bought. See all of their fights and all of their shows and things like that. But I haven't dug into seeing what's really been available that way. I've heard some, you know, a little bit of bumps and clicks about that they haven't, you know, some people haven't really been happy with what they've been offered so far. But then again, you know, they had to rush this thing to get it out there before this January 4th show from Singapore anyway. So I'm going to assume that they're going to be adding to it very quickly and improving that sort of thing. But as far as just watching that stream of that Singapore show, didn't have one problem whatsoever.
One of the things about the network, I know they're pretty happy with it so far. They're satisfied, I guess would be a better term. But one of the things about it that's kind of a benefit is, and actually this should have helped New Japan as well, but they had some streaming issues as well. They do get a ridiculous number of people that are buying the show from Japan, however. I mean, at one point they had an iPay-per-view that did 100,000 buys. And if you follow the iPay-per-view business in the U.S., I mean, the biggest ROH iPay-per-view of all time before they had all of their streaming issues, I think was right around and slightly under 3,000. And New Japan had 100,000. And my guess, because of the size and scope of the Tokyo Dome show, they probably did more than 100,000 this year, which may be why there were those buffering issues in the first few matches. But the thing with the UFC Fight Pass, and I've kind of noticed this myself, we are now doing live streaming shows on our website as well. Before, you could only download the shows, but the shows at WrestlingObserver.com, all of our radio shows that we plug every week, they are now streaming live as well. And one benefit is that because of the taping schedule for the shows, and I'm here on the West Coast, we have a lot of shows that are airing at like 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. We've got shows that are airing in the middle of the day. And what it does is it really does in some ways restrict an enormous number of people from all trying to access the live stream at the same time. If, for example, the shows were airing in prime time on the East Coast, you know, there's a chance that we'd have some crashes. And the same thing with UFC. It's you know, down the road, this won't be an issue. But if they were trying to air, for example, UFC 168 on their internet stream in prime time, I mean, there's probably a pretty good chance they would have had some major issues. But because these are, you know, the idea of this Fight Pass right now is they're airing the shows that are taking place overseas. So in the United States, where they're getting a lot of their customers, these shows are airing at weird times, the live shows. And so it does really cut down on the number of people that are going to try and access the stream at the same time. And it probably will help them in the sense that hopefully they will not see the kind of crashes that some of the wrestling pay-per-views have seen. And obviously they're using, you know, a better streaming provider. They're putting a lot of money into this. But, I mean, so far so good. It was the first show. And it was a free, they're doing a free two-month deal. So if you want to check out UFC Fight Pass for free for the next 2 months, you can go to UFC.com and click on Fight Pass. But so far, so good.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people won't, you know, want to hear this or anything, but this seemed to come up a lot during not every ROH pay-per-view, but ROH and Chikara and Dragon Gate and a few. Obviously, there were technical issues on their end, you know, with the building or with, you know, the wire, you know, this problem or that problem. But, you know, I would sit there and I'm very, very lucky in that I've got a really good, really high powered internet. And I'm in an area that is not overloaded with people or anything like that. So when there are spikes that you would, you know, like around 6 o'clock at night and when it's, you know, people are all snowed in and stuff like that, we don't feel the effect of really a drag on anything. Where I would sit and look at comments sometimes where I'm having a perfect stream. It's great throughout the whole thing. And then somebody's complaining about buffering and it's like, you know, your computer and the internet and all that, that does still also play a part in your internet provider and what speeds you're getting it at. I mean, Comcast in my area now added a 105 megabyte that it spikes up to, you know. And again, I don't know what the average
around
is
here
there.
Around here, they're starting up GigaNet, 1,000.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, obviously, if you have that, odds are you're probably not going to have a problem with buffering. At least you better not have a problem with buffering for what they're probably going to charge you for something like that. But, you know, that also plays a part in things, too. And it's, again, you know, sometimes it's obviously whoever's providing that pay-per-view for you, in the case of Invicta a couple times, in the case of Dragon Gate. But there's also times where, you know, it's actually on the, you know, the other person's end, which is, I think, caused a little bit of problems with as far as people having faith in internet pay-per-view, just because, again, it's not really their fault. You can only deal with the internet provider that you're given. But, you know, if you don't have necessarily a good one, you know, it's not the provider's, you know, it's not the person offering the pay-per-view's fault. And there could be bad feelings towards them that way.
Yeah, there is. I mean, sometimes it's an issue on the part of the provider. And sometimes, as you noted, it's your internet speed. And sometimes you can have fast internet, but the issue is actually your computer. If your computer is 10 years old and you're trying to stream, I mean, you may be having some issues. If you've got a virus on your computer, if you've got about 7,000 programs all running at the same time, I mean, all of these can affect your stream. So that's also something to keep in mind. Every now and then I'll have somebody that'll tweet to me and say, man, your stream is buffering every 2 seconds. And, you know, they're the only person that's tweeting this at the time. It's working perfectly for everybody else. And so most likely in a case like that, that is an issue on your end.
But that's why the TVs, you know, the TVs that they're coming out with are going to be, you know, really clutch, because at least they're a TV and nothing else, you know, and that should take away some of the problems that some people have with their computers. Now, that will not take away the fact that if you get slow internet, you get slow internet. That's going to be an issue. But, you know, again, these iPay-per-views are, this is all still the test stages. What we're doing on the website with live streaming is a test stage right now. Because in the future, I mean, this is going to be the way things are going, whether we consider it iPay-per-view or not, because we order on the TV. It's essentially going to be the same thing.
Yeah, I was at Best Buy yesterday, and they've already got TVs that they're wireless televisions. And so you're bypassing any sort of box, you're bypassing any sort of HDMI cable, your television is wireless. And these are big time flat screen TVs. And there's also 4K TV there, which was pretty cool, but that's another matter entirely. But
buy that yet. It's like the people that bought 3D TV, and now
yes.
I think Comcast is the only provider with anything. ESPN dropped theirs, and it looks like 3D TV is going to bite it for a while, which is interesting because Japan, during their intermission, they actually hyped up the fact that from February 2nd to, I believe it's sometime in March, I believe it is, or at some point like that, you're going to be able to see the New Japan Eye pay-per-view in 3D.
Wow. Well, there you go. Unfortunately, you're not going to see that here anytime soon. But the WWE Network is also launching, presumably internet only. I shouldn't say internet only. It is going to be an internet stream. And since people seem to ask every single week, no, I don't know what they're going to do yet, but I think I'm going to know most everything on Wednesday when WWE makes what is believed to be the official announcement at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas. And one thing about this that everybody keeps asking about is, will I be able to get this on my Roku box? Will I be able to get this on my Apple TV? And actually, if you have an Apple TV, you should be able to get the UFC Fight Pass because you can just, you know, stream whatever's on your computer to your Apple TV box. But I would be absolutely just floored if this were not the case. They are going to attempt to be getting the network on every conceivable platform. You got to consider that they want 1 million subscribers. 1 million. And the only way they're going to get 1 million subscribers is to make this thing available on everything that they can. You know, you're not going to get 1 million subscribers if you say the only way you can get this is on your computer. The only way that you can get this is streaming online through WWE.com. They're not going to do that. I mean, maybe they will, but if they do, I think they're out of their minds. I would expect that if you've got any sort of gaming device where you can stream programming your television, if you've got a Roku, if you've got an Apple TV, if you've got any of that, a Chromecast, anything, I would presume that you're going to be able to utilize that to watch the WWE Network. And it's a few days away, Mike. I'd be stunned if the announcement was not made on Wednesday. But by this time next week, here live on the show, we should be talking about all of the details of this WWE Network.
It'll be interesting. You know, that's one thing UFC did say that during the 168 buildup and trying to hype up everybody, that big push. I was going to say the final push, but really it was the only push to get people into buying Fight Pass was, hey, we're going to add, you know, your whatever it is, your Wii U or your Xbox One. Things will be added as this thing goes along, so be patient with us. And WWE may have to do that as well, too. It'll be interesting. Hopefully, though, because of the numbers that they're looking for, because of the numbers that they want, hopefully a lot of this for them is they're able to blast it out and have everything covered right off the bat. And like you and like a lot of people, I'll be really surprised if this is just some announcement that they, you know, syndicated TV is long gone. We don't know of any shows. And if we did, we'd probably know about them before now. So what else could they possibly be announcing at this thing? Especially because you only have, you know,
actually, again, Mike, hold that thought again.
3 months leading till Mania.
Hold that thought. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we're going to start taking your phone calls. And I want to hear from you. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the American Forces Network. A big shout out to everybody listening in on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network. We replay Monday morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, the TuneIn Radio website. You can check us out on iHeart.com, the Sirius Satellite Radio app. It is the most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts show in the entire world. All of these different ways to listen to the show. And if you want more, guess what? Today's your lucky day. In fact, this may be your lucky week. I got two more shows coming up tonight at WrestlingObserver.com. And our own network has been launched. We are now airing all of our shows live. And in order to test out the capacity, you can listen in absolutely free for the next several days. So when the show is over, head up to WrestlingObserver.com, In a few hours, we'll have links up where you could access our 24-hour stream. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The stream will be playing the last 2 weeks of programming and on a set schedule, which is available at WrestlingObserver.com, shows air live. Tonight at 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, myself and Dave Meltzer live at WrestlingObserver.com for an hour. And then later on tonight, 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight Pacific, The Brian and Vinny Show, live and free at WrestlingObserver.com. All of these links will be up at WrestlingObserver.com later on tonight. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in the world, you can listen live. And if the shows aren't live, you can still access the stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, free. So take advantage of it now while it's still free. All of this will be up at WrestlingObserver.com later on tonight. We're going to open up the phone lines. Toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, it is 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Please call on the best phone you have available and make sure you turn off your radio or your stream when you come up here on the air. If you'd like to Skype us, F4W Online is the handle, and all of this information is up at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, the phones are going wild, so let's get going here. You are on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this, and how are you listening to the show?
It's Zombie from Northern California. I'm going to listen on a download later, just to break in the football game. I just had a quick question for you, Brian. Actually, first, is Mike on the line?
Yes, he is.
Michael, thank you for 4 hours of goodness with Dave last night.
You're very, very welcome. I love doing those shows.
Yeah, it made my morning go by really fast. Thank you. But, yeah, my question for you, Brian, is if any pro wrestler in all of history, if you can sit down and have lunch with them, who would it be?
Have lunch with them?
Yes.
Someone just asked me this a couple of days ago. I said Andre the Giant to see if the rumors were true of his amazing eating capacity.
And the whole breakfast with Blassie thing, and, you know, I think that would be pretty neat to do. I would probably say, like, Ray Stevens for me.
Sure.
How about you, Mike?
God, I'm scared to do a Ric Flair or Ray Stevens because I know I'll be stuck picking up the bill, and I cannot imagine what the bar is going to cost me on that. but I don't know. You know, I honestly, even I've talked to Danny Hodge before, but I would actually still like to sit down. I would actually like to talk to Danny Hodge again in more of a, you know, for a longer form type of lunch setting and pick his brain about stuff. I think that would be awesome. And I think if it's somebody that had already passed away, God, there's so many of them, but I don't know. Let me think about that, because, like, Strangler Lewis, actually, like, guys like that, or I think, honestly, something like that from way, way back would probably be really, really interesting because, you know, how we got to this point was, you know, out of their brains in the 1800s and in, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s anyway. So I would love to hear actually what their thoughts were on things, and can you imagine what it was going forward?
All right, well, thanks for the question, for the answers, guys, and have a good day.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Back to the phones. You are on the air, Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this, and how are you listening to the show?
This is Jeff, and I am listening to it online.
All right.
On TuneIn.
TuneIn. What's up, Jeff?
Nothing much. I had a question that I hope you guys could... first of all, I wanted to say to Mike that the Sin Lamente, whatever it is, last night was awesome. It just went on forever, but it was great.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome. Love doing that show.
Oh, it was awesome. I had a lot of homework to do, so I just listened to you guys all night, so it was pretty great. My question is regarding Gaijin headliners. And specifically, you know, with Tanahashi climbing up there in age and all the wear and tear a lot of those guys take after the G1, what is the New Japan office's stance on pushing a Gaijin, like, say, like a Harry Smith or like even a Michael Elgin to that level they would have maybe a Vader or Dr. Death today?
I can't see it happening because things have changed too much now. They have an owner now where New Japan went into this big, you know, really a big down point after MMA had got big in Japan. And Inoki was throwing guys like Yuji Nagata and Shibata. And there were a lot of guys, and, you know, Shibata and Lyoto Machida. And there were a handful of guys that were going to be like Inoki's shoot favors. You know, they'd be fighters that wrestled in New Japan. And thankfully for New Japan, that finally ended, even though it seemed to almost kill the promotion. But They closed ranks after that. They were just worried about having their own guys, and that was it. They had some guys float in and out, but Prince Devitt has been the first guy in a long time to really be, you know, in that dojo for a long period of time and then be somebody that was not Japanese that they were going to get behind and push up. And it's, you know, it's taken him a good deal of time to get where he's at right now as far as being, you know, a little bit of a crossover guy. But, you know, Carl Anderson, if he re-signs, absolutely. You know, they did a little bit with Giant Bernard, who came back to WWE as Albert. You know, they gave him some IWGP title shots, but it's going to have to be somebody really special, and I don't think there's anybody out there, you know, right now that I could see being put into that position of anybody floating around that, you know, to that Gordy, Vader, Doc type of thing where they are Hansen, where they're a true superstar. I don't see anybody like that. I mean, if Claudio got cut tomorrow and went over there, possibly somebody like him, but still, I just, he's not even monster enough to be able to do it. I those days may actually be gone for good, and if there is anybody out there, I don't think we'll see it for quite some time.
Oh, excellent. I also was curious about where Makabe is going to be going after the awesome match he had on New Year's, or on the Tokyo Dome show.
That's going to be a good question. There's a lot of guys who need to be shaken out. You know, Dave brought one up last night, Tomohiro Ishii, you know, who was not on the card, who was conspicuous by his absence not being on the card. You know, he's going to need something. You have a lot of things ending right now. Shibata and Goto's ending, Naito and Okada's ending. So a lot of these guys are going to be shifted around in different positions. So really, you know, leading into that February, I think it's 11th show, we're going to have a little bit of a better idea on kind of where they're going to go for the spring.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. We have phone lines open, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free, US and Canada. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, I'm Toby from Germany.
Germany calling on the 855 line. How about that? What's going on?
Yeah, I got a question, and as I am from Germany, I'd like to know how high is the chance you think that there will be any WWE live Raw shows or pay-per-views in Europe or especially Germany soon, like 2014, 2015?
Live? Time? What time is it there right now?
Nearly 1 a.m.
Nearly 1 a.m. So if they went live, we're talking about 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a live Raw. And probably not a live pay-per-view either. But they have there have been some discussions about maybe doing a live SummerSlam from the U.K. But I don't think you're going to see a WrestleMania. They may do a tape draw. A tape draw is always possible. But I don't think you're going to get a live show.
Okay, they go for England for years, but what do you think, they are always going to England, how high is the chance you think they go to any other country than England in Europe?
Do I think they'll do a show from anywhere outside of Europe?
No, I mean outside of England, because they're always in England, like, in the last 5 years.
When is the last time? I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, when is the last time they went outside of Europe for an international taping? They did one in... Where did they
well,
do
they,
it?
Well, they've done no. They didn't even do Japan, did they? No, they actually taped in advance before they went to Japan. They didn't do Mexico yet. Look, that's something I could see them doing, like in Germany or something like that. As long as you know they tape it and put it on delay, I could see them doing something like that. I'd have to look at and see on a schedule if they're where they're set up to go. But I don't think they've announced anything in Germany for any time or anything like that. But it's not like there hasn't been legendary, you know, at least with some of the stories coming out of them, you know, German tours and stuff like that. They do try to hit as many places as they can.
All right. We have phone lines open, 855-478-4478. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and how are you listening to the show?
Hey, this is Chris in Vegas and I'm listening on traditional radio.
Traditional radio. What station?
1400.
1400 in Vegas. Awesome.
They don't actually have football on this week. It's amazing.
Well, hey, you're going to be getting a lot more of this because football season's almost over.
Yes. Anyhow, I was calling because I am now boycotting watching any kind of Raw. They turned Daniel Bryan. I have no reason to believe that they're going to turn him back before they kill him off. We cheered for Zack Ryder. They killed him off. He won the U.S. title. They killed him off. We cheered for Dolph Ziggler. He won the title. They killed him off. RVD came back. They killed him off. I have zero reason. What's the ratio these days of actually giving us what we want? Because I think it's pretty much null to this point.
This is the kind of passion I like here on this show.
Now, my man, have you seen or heard about what Daniel Bryan has been wearing as a member of the Wyatt family? Have you heard about this yet?
Yeah, I read on your website that he was dressed like one of them, and they called him Bryan Wyatt, and it's already spells death to me. Death.
He kind of looks like Duke the Dumpster Droz.
Why would his name be Bryan Wyatt when Bray Wyatt's two buddies are Luke Harper and Eric Rowan?
I don't book this stuff.
Dead air right there. That's right, because nobody knows. It doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe this will be explained. It's like this is his son now. He's taken him under wing. It's just like now he's Papa Bray.
I see.
Which would make IRS on Monday Grandpapa Bray.
I hadn't thought of that. That's right. Bray Wyatt's father. Are you aware, caller, that Bray Wyatt's father is IRS?
No, I did not.
That's his dad, believe it or not. And for those of you that watch Developmental, that is Bo Dallas's brother.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, wow. In fact. That's right. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I want to thank you very much for the call. If it makes you feel any better, I would expect that Daniel Bryan's going to be a babyface again, probably by WrestleMania. You never know. You never know what they'll do, but we'll see. Let's go to the phones. You got about 30 seconds. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
With the WWE Network coming out, will that mean the end of the cable network Classics on Demand?
Classics on Demand is dead as of February 1st.
Oh, that sucks. I like that.
Well, you'll be able to get the network for $2 more, probably.
Yeah, will it be on cable, though?
Ooh, no. You're going to have to somehow get it online.
Oh. And number two, what is the latest on Mae Young's condition?
It's very not good. I don't know a lot other than she went to the hospital over the last few weeks of December, and she is now in hospice care. So
that's not good.
Yeah.
One other thing, I got a question for Mike. I was watching some old school women's wrestling from Japan over the week.
Jim, hold the line. Okay. We're going to head to a break, and when we come back, we'll get your other question.
Okay, all right, that'd be fine.
Back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We got a quick segment here, but we've got Jim on the line, and Jim had one more question for Mike.
Yeah, I've got a question for Mike. I was watching some really good old-school Japanese women's wrestling on YouTube. Dump Matsumoto, Bull Nakano, Akira Hakuto, Devil Masami, from like 80s and 90s. And these girls, about, you know, they try to kill each other in the ring, you know, but no rules hardly. Now, I watched some, you know, recently, the recent wrestling, it's so much tamer. Is there some reason why they're not as violent? Or, because I like the old school a whole lot better than what I see nowadays from Japan.
Yeah, you know, great one to talk to about that is actually Dave Meltzer had a chance to go to a lot of those women's shows in the 90s over there. It was just All Japan Women's promotion in the 90s was just absolutely phenomenal. The Matsunaga brothers who started that, I think it was in the 50s, an all women's promotion. And they were like drill sergeants as far as training the women, you know, as far as. Again, it was just a different mentality over there, and you know, they would have hair matches, there would be blood, all sorts of things that you cannot imagine having over here in the States. I know they had a Molly Holly WrestleMania one, but that was treated like a joke. It wasn't a real thing. Where over there, you know, a woman, you know, lost and was going to lose her hair, there would be people openly weeping. It was a different time, a different style, and just things broke up from there, and just like a lot of what's happened in pro wrestling, not only in Japan but here as well, it just, you know, things break apart and things are just never the same.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to our top of the hour break. And when we come back, we got a quick segment. And then after that, we'll start taking your phone calls again. So if you're calling in, disconnect and be ready to call in about 10 minutes. We'll be back in just a moment, everybody. Another full hour of Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. 8 million different places to listen to this show. And I want to send a big shout out to my buddy Troy, who is listening right now. Troy was one of my best friends growing up. And when I first started doing pro wrestling in the old Youth Wrestling Federation, I actually dropped the title to him once. I shed a tear, the storyline that we did where Troy finally won the title. And I had not seen him in years. And we found each other again on Facebook like this week. Blown away by the magic of the internet. We're here for another hour, everybody. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, not the least of which is the Daniel Bryan heel turn, supposedly. As was noted in the first hour, Daniel Bryan is working the house shows in a Duke the Dumpster Drozzy sleeveless jumpsuit. And, they're calling him Daniel Wyatt. Why is he Daniel Wyatt and not Daniel Bryan, since the rest of the Wyatt clan haven't taken the Wyatt last name? I have absolutely no idea. Don't ask me. But he's working that storyline on the house shows. I presume we're going to see it on Raw on Monday. I did ask after Raw Monday, does this mean that Daniel Bryan needs to get new gear? Because Daniel Bryan going backstage with the Wyatt clan, dressed in the wacky red outfit with lightning bolts, just doesn't work as a member of the Wyatt clan. So the answer is yes. He's got a new outfit, he's got new gear, and he is now Daniel Wyatt. And a lot of people are very, very upset. Are you one of them? We're going to be taking your phone calls when we come back from the break. Obviously, 855-478-4478 is the number. F4W Online is the Skype handle. All of this coming up after the break. Whatever's on your mind, open lines here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, everywhere in the world. Soon, coming to you on the moon. That's my prediction for the next 10 years. This show will be heard on the moon. We got callers here on the line. You can give us a call, 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. And obviously, the Skype line is available as well. And you are on the air, Skype caller. Turn that down, please. What's going on?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's up?
Leaving Atlantic City and just ate at Denny's, so, you know, indigestion, all that good stuff.
Oh, great.
Did you make any money down there? Were you able to hit any of the tables hard?
He was at a party.
I'm sorry, what?
He was at a party. He called the other night, Mike.
Oh, okay. I thought he was actually, like, gambling is, you know, sorry.
Well, I'm sure some of that, too.
That was just, they have, like, this area where you can chill outside your room, just, like, for Wi-Fi and whatever, and that was just people going up to their room, like I said. I wasn't at a party.
I play poker.
I don't play blackjack slots and that stuff. I did do well this weekend. Yes, I made money.
All right, Sammy, what's on your mind?
I know it's not eligible for the, you know, the year prediction thing, but I forgot to call. I just wanted to make a prediction.
All right.
Sorry, my girlfriend's coming in the car. It's a three-parter. Number one, the network will get, by WrestleMania, around 300,000 subscribers for WrestleMania. Number two, even with those subscribers, WrestleMania will still crash, resulting in lots and lots of refunds. And as a result, number three, and 80s Nintendo fans are probably the only ones going to get this, a match between Ryu Hayabusa and King Korn Khan will be more profitable than WWE in 2014.
Well, hell, the latter. I want to thank you very much for the call. The quality is somewhat lacking, but I never thought I'd hear King Korn Khan on this show. And that's going out on a limb. I always ask people when they do predictions for 2014, go out on a limb. That one did, Mike.
It did indeed. Maybe they're going to turn that into some major motion picture we don't know about or something like that. Then it will probably make more than WWE this year.
That's right. If you're calling in, try and have a decent connection in a kind of quiet area, if you don't mind. This is a worldwide show. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Dave from Wisconsin.
What's up, Dave? You know, someone had a prediction that you were going to call every single show we did this entire year.
Yeah, I listened back to that after I was done with the New Japan pay-per-view.
All right, what's on your mind?
I just had a question. I haven't had a chance to listen to the Sin Lamente show yet, but I was wondering if Mike had numbers for the attendance at the Tokyo Dome yet.
I heard 35,000 legit. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, that's actually what David said last night. As we were doing the show, there were people that had went to the show that was emailing him and talking about the show and the crowd and the whole nine yards. And it sounds like it was legitimately around 35,000 paid, which, you know, means God knows how many more they actually may have had in that building as well, too. So
that's not bad.
Again, it's really the last 2 years, it's given them the confidence to get, like we were talking about earlier on, to go run Saitama in the Seibu Dome later on this year for the G1 and going into bigger buildings and making some changes and things like that. You know, it's really given them the confidence because of the paid attendance.
Okay, I got one last thing. All right. What was up with Devitt's makeup?
They've been, you know, there's always something wacky that takes place at the Tokyo Dome. And in fact, the show started with the tag team of Alex Shelley, more famously in this country as being a member of the Motor City Machine Guns, and his partner, Kushida, they're called the Time Splitters. And they actually drove out in a DeLorean with Kushida wearing the Marty McFly, Michael J. Fox vest that he wore in Back to the Future.
Wow.
No redhead is Leah Thompson there, but they did do that. So they're big on a lot of these, you know, big show, wacky, over-the-top WrestleMania-style introductions. And for Devitt, I thought it was the character Carnage from Spider-Man. And I'm not big on anime, and I think what they call those magma, or I forget what the some of the darker anime type of stuff is called in those graphic novels. But I thought it was a Spider-Man character, but I'm not really sure. There's been talk about something called the Titan or something like that. I don't really know what it was. I just kind of thought he looked like the Spider-Man guy, Carnage. And again, it was just something wacky to do. To me, it kind of screwed me up because I wasn't expecting it, and it's not like it's been something that's been a part of his character. So in a way, to me, it was a little bit distracting. But with that said, it was cool, and for the most part, for the response to it, people liked it. So, you know, it is what it is. It's just, you know, one of those wacky things that they did because it was a big show.
Dave, what did you think it was?
I thought it was a vampire, but since Mike just mentioned it, there's this very popular anime that's out now called Attack on Titan. So I'm guessing it was probably a reference to that, but I don't watch it, so.
Well, luckily we got 13,000 people on Twitter here, so if anybody has any idea what Prince Devitt came out as last night, let us know. I want to thank you very much for the call, Dave. And didn't Low-Key come out dressed as somebody last year from a video game and got himself fired?
Yeah, I can't remember that. Yeah, he was apparently not supposed to do that, but it was like Agent 57
yes.
or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what it was, but...
Worked great in the outfit and then worked his way right to the unemployment line and retirement.
Yeah, he's made some bad decisions.
Yes, he has. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yo, yo, it's Eric in Chicago.
Eric, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Well, not a lot. Doing a radio show, you know?
Well, unfortunately, I was not around to make my prediction for the prediction show, but I have two right here.
All right.
You like them? Well, the first one I got here, I meditated long and hard on this, and I asked the universe what is the best prediction I can make while also going out on the limb and being very specific. So I got one here.
Now, before you tell me this prediction, you asked the universe.
Yes, I did. I meditated long and hard, and I asked the universe.
All right. I'm very excited for this. What was it?
This is what I was answered back with. My prediction... for 2014 is your SummerSlam main event is going to be Brock Lesnar versus Big E Langston.
That'll be the main event.
Main event. Now for the specifics. The initial reports will be Lesnar versus Sheamus. They will switch it around and decide to go with Big E.
Wow.
And my second specifics, Big E wins via TKO with knees to the gut.
So he attacks his diverticulitis.
Yeah, they're doing the Alistair Overeem finish.
That is a great prediction. That's the kind of prediction I like to hear.
My third specific for that one is there will be no Cena on the card, allowing them to main event. For whatever reason, injury, something happens, he will not be on the card.
Wow. Well, hey.
Go ahead. I have a second one here. You're going to love this one. I also asked the universe, and this is what I was answered back with. My second prediction for 2014 is Brian Alvarez will once again defeat Todd Martin in the MMA betting game.
That's what I like to hear. You don't need to ask the universe about that. That's a fact. Well, that's a universal law.
For that one too. Here's a specific for that one, too. It will not be as easy as last year. It will not be as definitive. It will be more neck to neck, and Todd may be winning there for a couple months, but you got to stick with it.
Hey, I always stick with it. One last question before I let you go. I got to know. When you ask the universe, does it return an answer to you in English?
It's more of like a telepathic thing. I got to figure it out myself.
You just know.
Just know. It's not in a language. You just know.
Isn't it like a booming sound echo kind of comes through and kind of waves through your body like sound waves and you kind of get a feeling?
You just know, Mike.
Yes. It's a higher level of understanding.
That is amazing. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call.
I'd love.
I can't wait for SummerSlam now. The universe, you know, when the universe gives you an answer, Mike, it's you may as well take it to the bank.
And I got to be honest, Brock Lesnar and Big E Langston, you know, those are the type of guys I'd like my universe to talk about.
That's right. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478, Skype to F4W online, and Mike at the ROH television tapings last night. Roderick Strong was wrestling AJ Styles. AJ's return to TNA, I'm sorry, ROH, now that he's done with TNA, and this is going to air on television in the, I believe, the first week in February. But regardless, they did their match, and AJ went for the Styles Clash, and for reasons which, to this day, I cannot explain to you, Roderick Strong decided to tuck his head, and he landed right on his head and neck, and he was down. They went to the finish. He was helped to the back, and I was told last night that he was all right, and apparently he's going to be going to the doctor on Monday to just make sure everything was okay. He did briefly lose feeling in one of his arms, but after the show was over, he was backstage. They had the icing on his neck. People were joking around with him. He seemed to be fine. They are not overly concerned, but it was very, very scary, and that will air on television in February. And actually, the maybe even more concerning, I guess depending on the severity, was Adam Cole was unable to work the show last night because he has a very disgusting-looking, I was told, staph infection. And he is also going to the doctor on Monday to get that checked out, but we were told it looked really disgusting. And so Adam Cole also missed the show. And I believe some others missed the show as well. Kyle O'Reilly, I heard, missed the show. I heard one report that he was stranded in Seattle, which makes no sense because I'm here in Seattle and I have no idea why he'd be stranded. It's perfectly clear blue sky, no snow, nothing. But I believe he didn't make the show either. But apparently they rebooked everything and it came out pretty well. So 800 people last night at the show, said to be a very good attendance for the TV tapings. And that's the latest on Ring of Honor. Now, Scarlet Lover's been trying to call for a half hour now. So, Scarlet Lover, you are on the line. What's going on?
Hey, not much. Just writing my radio show here.
You're writing a show?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be giving some awards to some redheads on Twitter just for fun.
I see. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was wondering what you guys thought about WWE bringing back Money in the Bank for WrestleMania. Honestly, at this point, with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, with there being one title on the line, or just one title in general, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a viable pay-per-view by itself. RVD is rumored to be back, which I think sucks, but, I mean, what else can they do for him? Money in the Bank is a big part of WrestleMania history. I mean, it was 6 years running, 7 years running, and honestly, you know, with WrestleMania, you got to provide some of those hardcore moments. You don't necessarily have to, but it's always a good idea. And, you know, the pay-per-view itself, I don't see it holding up if there's not two titles, to be honest.
Money in the Bank has done all right in previous years as a standalone pay-per-view. I like it better at WrestleMania because it seems like it's WrestleMania. You know, and especially when the day comes where all of the pay-per-views are free on the network and it doesn't matter what your main events are because they're all free, but you do have to sell WrestleMania on traditional pay-per-view every year. I think that having Money in the Bank on that show is a great hook. I think it adds to the prestige of WrestleMania. I don't know why they ever took it off WrestleMania in the first place. And it helps in terms of intrigue for the show. Because if you do Money in the Bank earlier on in the show, I mean, the possibility is always there that whoever wins is going to cash in after the WrestleMania main event. So I like it better on WrestleMania. I know they've been talking about it this year. I don't think they've made a final decision, but what do you think, Mike?
No, I'm in your camp on that, too. I think as an event, it's great. I mean, I understand why they tried to make it a pay-per-view with all the marketing things and stuff like that that go around it. You know, I get it. But to me, it's much better at WrestleMania, especially because you can have – it's not like a geek fest or anything like that. You know, you can have a guy in there like Evan Bourne, you know, doing some moves and still have a Kane or a Big Show as basically the bases for other guys. And then, you know, I get to me, it's – you know, even though, you know, Flair was in it 1 year, Shelton Benjamin was always great. And you see these spectacular spots, and at least at WrestleMania you're seeing them with, you know, real stars and everything too, and it'll mean something. And they, like you said, there's always that possibility, and you know, it's sooner or later they'll probably do something like that at WrestleMania where if a guy wins it, he cashes it in later on just to do it.
Yeah, it just brings out a lot of WrestleMania moments. I think, you know, if somebody that's becomes a champion wins, I honestly could go without the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. They've had some great matches, don't get me wrong. They've had great pay-per-views with Money in the Bank. But I think, and this will be a prediction, that Money in the Bank, if it airs this year, won't be as good as 2011 or even 2012, for that matter.
All right, Lover, I want to thank you very much for the call. That's a lot of predictions here today. We should have just made this an official prediction show. So, hey, if you're listening and you want to call in with a prediction, still got time. Half hour, 855-478-4478. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and how are you listening to the show?
This is John from Arkansas, and I'm listening through the TuneIn Radio app.
TuneIn Radio, what's going on?
Not much. I had a question, you know, concerning tomorrow's old school Raw. You know, I noticed that Ric Flair is supposed to be on there, but are they really 100%, you know, completely at peace with everything that went down from that symposium now with him? Or is this just going to be this one-shot deal, or do you think it may possibly lead to something else down the road?
Well, my guess would be that depending on how things go tomorrow, we'll have our answer. If he comes out there and he's on his best behavior and there are no problems, I think you'll see a lot of Ric Flair. If he comes out there and goes off script and goes all wacky and makes a fool of himself, then I don't think you'll see Ric Flair for a long time.
My question is, do you think that they are going too crazy with all this scripting and everything like that? I mean, can we not do the organic-based stuff of let things happen? I mean, in the past, in wrestling history, it's shown us that when guys are organic, it works the best. Why try to use something that's not broken, you know?
Well,
run with it.
Well, two things. I want to thank you very much for the call. A, it's a new business. And B, there are guys who are allowed to go out there and not read a script. It really depends on who you are. A lot of the younger guys are going on a script. A lot of the older guys, the veterans, they're essentially going on bullet points. And so it really depends on who you are. And in the case of Ric Flair, I'm sure he's going to get bullet points. But, you know, it is a live show. It is 3 hours. There are commercial breaks. You do have to stick to a format. And so I think that that's one of the reasons that they make sure that they stick people here on these scripts. I mean, you got to be careful. You can't let Flair go out there and just go crazy for 25 minutes. And with Ric Flair, you know, he's had a live mic before, and he said things that you can't say when WWE is PG. And I know Mike
knows. Was that the Randy Orton promo?
I don't know who it was about, but it was he's bleeding and, you know, this and that. Talking about bleeding. We can't mention it here on this show either. So basically, the whole deal is yeah, you got to keep an eye on Rick.
And I think they're going to limit that, too. I think they will be careful about that. And again, you know, if I'm sure there are things in place where they will cut the mic and cut the camera and go to something else just in case that happens. But, you know, I'll say this, you know, they should they have a little bit of heat on him for that game symposium that took place? Yeah, I guess so, a little bit. With that said, you know, you don't to me, if you invite Jim Ross, Ric Flair, who else was up there? Steve Austin, Paul Heyman. If you don't want these guys to be these guys, and that's the reason people want to come and see them, then don't have them on.
Tobias here, by the way, on Twitter has a prediction that there will be a appearance tomorrow by Hulk Hogan. What do you think?
I think he better start walking down to the ring right now.
Oh, Mike, poor Hulkster.
I know. Hey, look, you know, that there a lot of people are so angry and upset and they're bitter and we're never going to watch wrestling again. And we hate you, WWE, for turning Daniel Bryan heel. I mean, let's just say, and, you know, this is a long shot. Let's just say he's into this thing for a while. And much like Tina Ferrari in Glow. You know, he breaks the spell at the Royal Rumble and he tells everybody, you know, after he dumps Bray Wyatt and dumps Eric Rowan and Luke Harper out of the ring that he was only using them so he could win the Royal Rumble. And he wins that and he gets the main event at WrestleMania, you would think. But he gets screwed out of it because McMahon and Helmsley are still pissed at him. So he doesn't get that, but he still somehow gets the main event because he teams with, say, John Cena and Hulk Hogan against the Wyatts. Would that be something that would make people happy? I think, you know, for as many people as they want pro wrestling and they want their pro wrestling back a little bit, Daniel Bryan represents that to them. Look, this, yes, they could make a huge mistake with this thing with Daniel Bryan and really want to make him a heel or really try to bury him with this or something like that. But you never know what could come out of this, too.
To the Skype line, Francis, you're on the air. What's going on?
I'm all right. I'm listening from the UK on the TuneIn Radio app.
All righty. What's happening?
Well, I want to ask you two things, actually. Well, I was going to ask you about Hulk Hogan on Underscore Raw, but you've already answered that question already. I want to ask him, like, do you watch British wrestling? And, do you have any opinions, like, who could you see from the UK scene coming up to, like, maybe developmental in WWE or, say, Impact?
Let's actually, we're going to head to a break, Francis, but I will get to that question when we come back. Mike will ask you about UK wrestling and who have you seen and who do you think can make it on the main roster? So that's coming up after the break. Everybody, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, Sirius Satellite Radio app on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app and website, iHeart.com, the iHeart Talk Radio portal. Most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And tonight, two more live shows. In fact, they are live and free at WrestlingObserver.com. At 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, I will be up with Dave Meltzer talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. At midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, I will be up with Vinny, the Brian and Vinny Show. We'll be talking NXT, ROH, and a lot more. Both of these shows live and free on our stream up at WrestlingObserver.com. You'll be able to call in, communicate with us over Twitter during the show. All of the information is going to be up at WrestlingObserver.com here in a couple of hours. So head up later on to check that out. We'll give you the streaming link. It is absolutely free for the next few days. We're doing a lot of tests. We're trying to test out the capacity. How many people can be listening before we have a crash? Quite frankly, we welcome a crash so we can find out when this thing, how many people we need to have it set up to handle. So check it out. Spread the word. The link will be up probably about 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And if you're not listening live, don't worry. For the next few days, the free stream, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, will be playing all of the audio from the last 2 weeks. So head up there to WrestlingObserver.com later today and check it out. And of course, if you love what you hear, you can always sign up and become a subscriber and get this all year long. WrestlingObserver.com. We are taking phone calls toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. We got some tweets and emails here as well. Mikey was pointed out that Raw was in Italy a couple of years ago when Santino won the Intercontinental title from Umaga.
Yes.
Yeah. And someone else claimed here, sorry, taping in Mexico in 2011. I don't recall this, but it must have happened. And also Japan in 2005.
I guess I remember like them being there because I remember like Chris Jericho had a face off with them, and he's done this a couple times while he's been over there, a face off with Yoshihiro Takayama, which I remember that taking place, but I can't remember if they actually had taped TV there or not or anything like that. And also from what the caller had asked earlier on too about the UK scene, that's more for Alan for Life, who does the Dr. Keith Present show on our website. I am very out of the loop when it comes to those guys as far as people who are already out there. Your Fergal Devitts, I mean, we talked about guys from New Japan earlier on. What are you going to do with him? They got a lot of options with him, including keeping him in the heavyweight ranks and really being a foil for some people. Adrian Neville, who was Pac for years, obviously in developmental in NXT, stands out. Rebecca Knox is there. I'm not sure exactly what her, what the deal is actually going to be with her or anything like that. But if she's going to be an announcer or something like that, hey, you've got her as well as Paige, obviously, who's in NXT right now, who could be up on the main roster. So, you take that into account. You got Magnus over in TNA, Rockstar Spud to a far lesser degree and everything. But, there at least are going to be some names that are going to be, and Devitt's been talked about for WWE many times as well, too. So there's possibilities there, and things are looking good as far as, UK and the Irish getting into the upper ranks of WWE, which is just good in general, usually for business, because, hey, when times are good and your stars are up there, it does give you something to shoot for. And Sheamus is going to be coming back as well, too, you'd figure at some point along the line as well.
So was noted here from Brian on Twitter. There was a taping in Mexico 2 years ago. The real Sin Cara beat the now real but then fake Sin Cara in a mask match. So there you go. That was Mexico 2 years ago. We are taking your calls, 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. Give us a call right now. All of the numbers available at WrestlingObserver.com. If you didn't get a chance to hear them, 855-478-4478. All the numbers up at WrestlingObserver.com. Also noted here by Chris, the first Ring of Honor in Nashville taping, the first taped show will air next Saturday. If you are a fan of ROH on Sinclair, you'll be able to check out the first taping next Saturday. The show with AJ Styles versus Roderick Strong is going to air on February 1st. And as noted, Roddy is going into the doctor tomorrow to make sure he is all right. But the belief was he suffered a stinger and he's going to be fine. That's what he was telling everybody. So I still want to know why he tucked his head. That I'm baffled by. Frankie Kazarian did that once, and the same thing happened. It was brutal.
Well, do it once. Hopefully you know not to do it again. Yeah, it was just I saw it, and it just I don't know exactly. Maybe he didn't think it was the finish. Maybe he thought he was going to – I have no idea what the deal was going to be with that. But if my brother was just thinking, he probably tore every muscle in his neck. It's amazing that he's actually okay and only got a stinger out of that deal.
The Royal Rumble is coming up, everybody. And we have, at the moment, only one match. Actually, no, I'm sorry. We have two matches because we do have the 2014 Royal Rumble match. The winner, of course, will be getting a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match at WrestleMania XXX, which I don't think is how they're going to bill it this particular year. But that's what it is, everyone. It is WrestleMania XXX coming up in, what is it, April?
Hey, if you want to go XXX, New Orleans is not a bad place to pull something like that off.
That is true. Let's get the date of WrestleMania XXX here for everybody. It is, and I should know because I'm going, April 6, 2014, WrestleMania Triple X at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. We will be there broadcasting the show from New Orleans, so you can get ready for that. Now, the Royal Rumble, we've got the 30-man Battle Royal for the championship match. Also, the big announcement on Raw by Stephanie McMahon. She said she had a big announcement. It was an amazing announcement. What was it? Well, Randy Orton and John Cena are having a wrestling match. Yeah. For the WWE World Heavyweight title. A wrestling match. It is a no stipulation match, except for the stipulations of no outside interference, no disqualification, no count out. You can only win via pinfall or submission, which on the surface, when you hear that, suggests to a person that John Cena is going to win. Now, we're going to get Mike's predictions after this call. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. This is Matt from New Hampshire. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
Not much. I feel like an idiot. I forgot my question.
You called. I picked up.
Brian,
and you
Brian.
Forgot your question.
Brian, this is what happened. Okay. I'm sitting here listening to the show. I'm bored. I'm like, I want to call up. I just got done listening to the show with Mike and Dave. Great job, Mike. And I had to go get my phone in the other room, and I'm dialing. And as I'm dialing and I hit talk, I'm like, what the hell was I going to ask?
Well, since you're on the line, why don't you make up a prediction for 2014?
Oh, boy.
Come on, go out on a limb. Who is going...
Brian, I can't make a prediction for 2013 because we're not in...
No, 2014.
I could have sworn you said 2013. Okay.
What a day it's been for you.
Yeah, I know.
All right, go on.
Okay, how about this? Hulk Hogan will wrestle at this year's WrestleMania.
All right, now I'm going to make you go out on a limb here. I need you to tell us who he is going to wrestle.
I'd say who he's going to wrestle. I think it would be a tag match. I think the tag thing makes most sense because I don't see him working a singles match, but I think the tag match probably against the Wyatts makes most sense.
All right, I'm going to give you two options, and I want you to pick one. Both of these options have been discussed by WWE.
Okay.
The two options are Hulk Hogan, John Cena, and Daniel Bryan against the Wyatt family, which would mean that Daniel Bryan goes back babyface and you do a six-man.
Right.
Or Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan against John Cena and Hulk Hogan.
That's a tough one.
That was a lot of humming on the other end of the line here. You and Mike.
It's a tough one because I'm not sure where they're going with the Daniel Bryan thing at the moment. I did just read that he came out with his new attire.
Yes.
I think I just read that and came out billed as Daniel Wyatt.
Pick one.
I'd say,
six man or a tag?
Six man.
Six
Thank
man.
You, Brian.
All right, thanks very much for the call. That was awesome.
That's what happens when you listen to the 4 hours of Sin Lamente all in a row.
Open lines, everybody. I've said it many times. That's right. Sin Lamente and open lines. That's what you get. Back to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Tom in La Puente, California.
Tom, you sound much better prepared than our last caller.
Thank you very much. I was wondering, for former wrestlers of WWE, do they offer any kind of medical help to former wrestlers other than those with drug dependency problems?
So, if, for example, the Honky Tonk Man...
Or Iron Sheik.
If Iron Sheik fell down and broke his hip, would they pay for a surgery?
Yeah.
I don't think so. They will pay for your medical care if you are under contract and get injured in a match. I actually don't know. Like, in UFC, you're covered. You know, if you're walking outside in the snow and you slip and break your tailbone, I mean, they'll pay for your surgery should you need it. But in WWE, I'm pretty sure they only cover you if you're injured in a match. And once you're gone, I mean, they're only going to pay for your rehab if you need it.
And there have been stories of hardship cases where, for whatever reason, they've helped pay for somebody's surgery or help assist them with something like that. It's not something that they advertise too much. It's not something that's talked about altogether too much. But there have been times where, for whatever reason, they have gone out of their way to go help somebody out. So, but as a general rule, though, no.
Cool. And I predict Dave Meltzer will say, you know, in every single broadcast of the year 2014.
I should ask for an exact number.
I'll say a minimum of 50 per show, but I'm being conservative.
Wow.
Anyway, good night, guys.
All right, thanks very much for the call. I meant over the course of a whole year, you know? There's one for me right there. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, how's it going? I'm Jordan calling from New York City.
Jordan, what's up?
I'm on the air.
You are on the air. No call screener. What's up?
Oh, hey, how's it going? I got a question about the Wrestle Kingdom show and New Japan and Japanese wrestling in general.
Go for it. Mike's here.
All right. So I just need somebody to – I know this could take a while, so if you have a website you could recommend me to look into, I need somebody to explain to me the business of Japanese wrestling. I don't understand how it works, how it compares to American wrestling. I want to get into it, but it's so hard because there's no commentators that – know, translate to English for the pay-per-view streams. So do you have any advice as to where I can really educate myself on how does it work? How do they run shows? Do they have weekly TV shows and then monthly pay-per-views?
You know, it's funny. I hate to plug my own stuff, and actually it's Dave's stuff. But if you subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com, Dave just put out an Observer this week, and he has a history of the Tokyo Dome. Every Tokyo Dome show that has ever taken place, he's written a history of it. And he has New Japan news every week. So really, check out WrestlingObserver.com. And we got to head to a break. But when we come back, I'll have Mike give you some other options as well. So thanks so much for the call. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sebrovivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment here on the show. And Mike, you are going to give our caller from New York some recommendations of where, besides WrestlingObserver.com, you can get more information on New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it's kind of tough as far as the history of it goes and all that sort of stuff. Really, you know, you kind of have to really do the research on your own because there are no books out or anything like that. You know, there's mentions in a plenty, including Dave's tributes books and things like that. But, you know, honestly, the newsletter and the fact that he puts up the old archives, it probably is the best way to go as far as really trying to be able to piece the business together week after week after week so you can really follow what's going on. But Strong Style Spirit, which is a website, it's Paresu Fan, P-U-R. ROESU fan.com/NJPW.
Yeah, just Google Strong Style Spirit. You'll find it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great site to go to. And, you know, there's things like Gaia Girls, which is a documentary on Japanese women's wrestling, which is a was done, I'm trying to think how far back it was. That's on YouTube and things like that. That'll kind of give you an idea into the training methods and things like that, and the brutality and the focus that takes place, which was also the same in men's wrestling as well. And you just kind of have to go out there, and there's plenty of articles that have been written, but unfortunately there haven't been too many books or anything like that that – you know, there was talk of Takata from Pride, and there was talk of his book actually being published in English at one point. It was called Crybaby, his autobiography, which a lot of people in the wrestling business over there was very upset about because he was going to, quote unquote, expose some things and things like that. And I guess it was very controversial, but it was never published in English. So really just, you know, the old writers that are out there and the old people that covered the sport, Googling that and just trying to do the best research you can is kind of the best way to go.
We're going to head out, everybody, but hey, later on tonight, two more live shows, live and free, up at WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there in about an hour. All the information will be up there. 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight Eastern, as well as midnight Pacific and 3 a.m. Eastern. Live, free shows tonight. And if you don't check it out, we'll be back here next week, Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio. Should be a fun time. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, of course, to Paul, Mike Sempervivi, all the folks at Sports Byline. Talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.